mounting pressure for social media companies to control what children and teens see. It's based on research that says social media can lead to mental health issues and expose young people to both misinformation and cyberbullies. At the same time, there are other groups that fear controls could go too far and isolate teens who need to reach out for help. We're joined now by Daniel Cheng, Florida correspondent with KFF Health News. Thank you for being with us this morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Daniel, give us a little bit of background of what a lot of the experts are saying is the impact of social media on our kids and teens.
Well, I suppose that depends on the experts that you speak to, but for certain high-profile experts like the U.S. Surgeon General Vivek Murthy has warned about the potential harm to especially adolescent mental health from the use of social media. Even though the science is still early and there isn't really any concrete evidence of social media use directly causing, say, depression or anxiety or other adverse mental health effects, a lot of research suggests that it does, and there's a strong association between some of those feelings, especially, like as I said, among adolescents and the use of social media. We're talking about things like negative comparisons, perhaps, or that fear of missing out, those kinds of things.
What efforts are underway to control what young people access on social media? What can they do?
Well, Tom, there are a lot of efforts underway. At least 30 states have some kind of a social media legislation pending, and they run the gamut from teaching the critical thinking and media social media literacy to just outright age bans, depending on the age. The ages can vary from 15 to 13, and that a child would need to reach that age before they can create an account or get their parents' permission. There are a lot of challenges to these laws, especially along First Amendment grounds. And there's also just sort of practical challenges of how companies would be able to police this sort of thing.
We're speaking with Daniel Cheng, Florida correspondent with KFF Health News. Now, based on your reporting, what groups are saying that some of these efforts to try to police what young people see on social media may miss the mark and actually cause some harms?
So these are individual researchers. I'm not sure that you could necessarily tie it to groups, but for sure, for instance, there's a youth media and well-being research lab at the Wellesley Centers for Women, where one of their research scientists has been studying the effects of social media on adolescents, and they feel that there are kids who benefit from it. Similarly, the National Academies and I apologize, I'm forgetting exactly the list. The National Academies of Sciences, Engineering, and Medicine have also found that not all kids respond the same, and much of it may depend on their use as well as their ages, but there are certainly some kids who can benefit from it, kids who may be marginalized, who may be part of perhaps a minority, either by their identity, race, or ethnicity, who will use social media in constructive ways, perhaps to find a community and network with others like them. In our story, we used an example of a 17-year-old college freshman. She is Black, and the college that she's going to has about a 2% Black population, but she's been using social media to connect with other students like her on campus. And that, I would say, that's an example of a positive way. But in terms of specific groups that are saying that this could hurt, I think that it's more like individuals, researchers, and even opinion writers and in certain media. So,
Daniel, just looking at another side of it, you know, kids are very techie. I mean, they're on social media and they're on their devices all the time. And a lot of times they know them better than we know those devices. Are there still ways for teens to get around these controls?
Oh, for sure. I mean, they're getting around the controls now. Most social media companies have rules that say you must be 13 years old at least to create an account. But we know that there are kids who have social media accounts because you know, the methods that are used to verify age can only go so far. And that's one of the concerns that groups like NetChoice, which represents Meta and Alphabet, which owns Google and YouTube, they argue that having social media companies gather your personal information, your driver's license or other identification is sort of an invasion of privacy and also potentially perhaps a security risk for people who use them. So I think that kids are already finding ways around them. You're right, Tom, they're digital natives and older folks like myself often turn to younger people to try to figure out social media. So that is another practical concern, I think, in terms of how some of these proposals to ban younger people from using social media would actually work.
Daniel, you mentioned those minority groups being able to make those connections. Are there any of these individuals that are saying there are other populations of young people out there that aren't going to be able to access some of the things that they need, that they might be afraid to, ask someone in person?
I think that is part of the concern. I think you raise a great point, which is that you don't just have to be part of a marginalized group or a minority. Sometimes kids just feel more comfortable talking to other kids or people they trust. And this is part of what makes sort of studying the effects of social media so difficult, is that it's not happening in a vacuum, right? So the effects on your mental health may depend also on how much support you have among your family and your peers in school. And that doesn't really depend on your identity or your ethnicity or your race. That could happen to any child. So I think that is a concern as well, that you don't want to cut kids off from trusted sources. But at the same time, a lot of the emotion, if you will, that seems to be driving many of the legislative efforts, both in Congress and at the state capitol level, is based on sort of fear and the harm that it could cause. And that was kind of the point of the story, that you don't want to overlook the potential benefits and the people who could be helped by adopting these broad, sweeping bans.
Florida correspondent with KFF Health News, Daniel Chang. Thank you for being with us. Have a great rest of your day.
You're welcome. You too.